This summer, your local movie theater will become a tent revival for proclaiming Jesus, and you're invited to be a part of this unique evangelistic campaign. Join with believers nationwide for the Million Souls Campaign to bring unsaved family and friends to watch the powerful new movie, The Firing Squad, starring Kevin Sorbo and Cuba Gooding Jr. The Firing Squad tells the incredible true story about prisoners who find faith in the face of execution and transform their prison in the process. As the movie ends, co-star Kevin Sorbo comes on the screen to lead the entire theater in a prayer to commit one's life to Jesus Christ, providing an on-site opportunity to introduce family and friends to the message of Jesus. Go to firingsquadfilm.com and learn how you can receive free tickets and more to The Firing Squad and participate in this unique theater event. Bring your friends and your family and bring your faith. That's firingsquadfilm.com to learn more.
Welcome to the podcast today. Great show for you. We have Bill O'Reilly on the program to react to the news of the week, as well as Michael Malice. He's on as well. Bill Barr, former Attorney General. He is on to talk about the most recent developments in the Russiagate sort of world. That's pretty interesting as well. We also go into Joe Biden's speech on guns last night. In fact, we're going to go into that in depth on Stu Does America tonight. We have a special coming up. Stu debunks gun myths, the definitive guide at pushing back against all the left's terrible gun arguments. That's coming up at 8 p.m. Eastern on Blaze TV. If you go to blazetv.com/Glenn, you can use the promo code debunked for $20 off of your subscription. Also, we're going to be giving that out on podcast as well. So if you're here and you want to check out the special today, you can go to the Stu Does America page and follow the podcast, and you'll get that episode for free today. We got to push back against this stuff because no one in the media is going to tell the truth. That's for sure. Here's the podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Friday, Mr. Bill O'Reilly, biggest story of the week, sir.
Joe Biden trying to save his administration by using the gun issue. That's the biggest story of the week. So yesterday, the president gets out there, and he gave it away right away. So he says that if legislatures fail to act, voters should use their outrage to turn it into a central issue in November's midterm elections. So you've got a catastrophe on the economic front. Everybody is suffering who is in a working class category. And he admitted also in a different soundbite, hey, I can't do anything about inflation or rising gas prices. I don't know. I can't. I'm sorry. He said that.
That's unbelievable.
He said that.
He can actually, he's probably the only guy, him and the Fed, that can actually do something about it.
Right, but at least he was honest because he himself does not understand what you just said.
Well, no, I won't give you a pass on this one because he knows that through ESG and the banks choking off the money to the big oil companies, him with leases, et cetera, the push is for this all new green economy. They are intentionally driving the price of oil up.
He knows generally that gas is bad and green energy is good, but he doesn't know what he did ignited inflation. He doesn't. And I'm not giving him a pass, Beck. I'm telling you the man's incapacitated. All right, that's what I'm telling you. So now his advisors say, hey, look, we got a little Battle of the Bulge scenario here. Battle of the Bulge, World War II, Nazis were defeated. They made one more push, and they caused some damage, and then they were defeated at Bastogne in northern Belgium. So this is the Battle of the Bulge for the Democrats for midterm elections. So let's take the kids who were killed in Texas, the Uvalde kids, and make that a campaign issue by putting forth legislation that we know is not going to be passed in the Senate. They're not going to ban guns in the Senate. Not going to do it. And then we can use that to tell people that the Republicans are irresponsible and dangerous and vote for Democrats. That's what this is all about. Beck, you know that.
I do, but I also think it is a setup for getting rid of the filibuster, packing the court.
Yeah, but all of that's down the road here. We only have 5 more months until the Democratic Party is absolutely destroyed.
Okay, so let me ask you this, Bill.
Yes.
And I'm not suggesting anything. I have my own theories, but I would like your answer on this. You know that when you have a dangerous animal cornered and they've got nothing to lose, that's when you're in the most danger. This dangerous Marxist animal has been cornered. People are on to them. All of their lies are being exposed. Their policies are being exposed for what they are. And they know they're going to lose in a big way. What do those Marxist animals that are trapped in a corner, are they just going to just take it?
No, that's why they're trying to centralize the issue of violence and put it on the Republican Party. So that's their last gasp. But the Republicans aren't smart enough to counter. So you can't just say no to millions of independent voters. You've got to say no, but here's what we're going to do to make it harder for children to be murdered in school.
Well, but the real common sense thing is to put police in our schools, put armed people in our school.
That's a local issue.
I know that. I know that.
All right. So that's local, but we're talking federal now.
Right. So the federal law, the government shall not infringe on that. And I know people will say, well, there's some common sense things we can do.
Yeah, but there's one big thing we can do, and you should be monitoring BillO'Reilly.com because I've been bannering this all week. So the only way in a nation of 330 million people that you're going to control violence with guns is to federalize gun crimes. That's it. And that was done for bank robbery. You'll remember that in the 1930s, this was what killing the mob was all about, that these thugs were running wild around the country with big machine guns, robbing banks, and the locals couldn't stop it. And police officers are being killed, and civilians are being killed in these banks. So the FBI, the new FBI that was just formed, said, hey, all bank robbery is federal. We're going to do it now. That's the only way to do this. There is no other solution on the national level.
Okay, so hang on just a second. The last thing I want to do is give more power to the federal government.
Well, you're wrong, okay?
Because really?
Here, the power can be used just like it was used to decimate the terrorists, killing the killers back. Mm-hmm. The power of the state can be used for good. So, very briefly, Beck, I don't want to light your paranoia up.
Oh, my gosh.
This is not a complicated thing. If a person in America commits a crime with a firearm, and that includes carrying an illegal firearm in your state, okay, whatever the state law is, then the feds prosecute it with mandatory prison terms. That means it could be 5 years, it could be 10. What that does is it not only takes the guns out of the hands of the loons, but it makes it much harder for the drug gangs, a story completely ignored by the corrupt media in this country, who are killing far more than the loons going into the schools.
Well, the thing I like about this is it would work in today's America. It would probably work as well as federalizing and making a federal offense out of lying to Congress, because that way we know that nobody will lie to Congress. No, anyway, know what is amazing?
Yeah.
Honestly.
Go ahead.
Because I think people find this surprising that we actually like each other.
Who, you and me?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they don't understand why I like you.
Oh, okay.
No. Look, we have a mutual respect because we both think things out. And our goal, I believe this to be true, is that both of us want the best for the American people.
And we don't agree on everything, and certainly not on federal, giving more power to the federal government. But
wait, let me ask you a question. Then. Yeah. You're just blithely dismissing me. You read Killing the Killers, best Father's Day gift ever. You read it.
Yes, I did.
The power of the federal government was used to go after these heinous terrorists everywhere in the world.
I got it. And I mean, I also watched the Untouchables.
No, this worked, Beck.
It did. It's a different America.
We got the back of these terrorist cells all over the world.
It was a different America.
Nah, it's working right now. We're doing the same thing right now. Look, I understand your suspicion of the federal government. It can't do much. But once you put a code of law in that says you cannot commit any crime with a gun. Look, do you understand? I think you know that here in New York, where I am, the cops can arrest you with an illegal firearm.
Oh, I know.
And you're out on bail the same day, Beck.
Not in New Jersey, I know. Not in New Jersey.
In New York City, the largest city in the country, they're no bailing people.
Are
caught with automatic pistols.
And I will tell you, if I were in New York City and I got caught with a gun, they would not release me on bail.
No, but they just want to incarcerate you anyway.
Yes, exactly. Okay? Exactly right.
Personal with you.
Exactly right. Okay, hang on just a second. Hang on just a second. Bill O'Reilly, more with him in just a second.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck Program.
Michael Malice is joining us now. He had a couple of tweets that I just want to give to you. Remember, no one wants to take away your guns. No one wants to shut down your business. No one wants to have lockdowns to continue more than necessary. No one's going to force you to have a vaccine passport. No one is teaching your kids critical race theory. These are all conspiracy theories. Yeah, they're really not, are they? But don't worry, they don't want to take your gun. Michael, how are you, sir?
Good morning, sir. And if people want to look at that tweet, the replies are particularly hilarious when people insist, well, actually, all those things end up did happening, so you just owned yourself. That's the point. I think we should all give a big thanks this morning to Justin Trudeau, who has really kind of silenced the gun issue in America. Because people who are on the fence, who are like, oh, okay, red flag laws, you know, assault weapons, which isn't a thing, they are looking at what happened in Canada, which was weeks after they imprisoned all those truckers and realizing, okay, this is clearly the end game here in America as well.
Is there a big uproar? I'm not following Canadian politics. You are Canadian, aren't you?
God, no. Oh,
no, that's right. No, I forgot. I'm sorry. I forgot.
You are Canadian. Yes. You might as well call me a woman. Sir. Have you no shame?
I didn't call you a French Canadian.
After all is said and done, have you no shame, sir?
I know. I'm sorry. I apologize. I deeply apologize. I'll let my wife step up to the microphone and just say
If you're apologizing so much, maybe you're the Canadian, huh?
Right. Okay. So are they standing up in Canada against this?
No, they're not. Canadians at all. Barely they are, but that's the point. We need to look north to see kind of like looking into the sliding doors moment to our near future.
So it's
very disturbing to see.
You had another tweet this week, and it says, white pill. In the last decade, the gun rights side has shifted from I need guns to keep my home safe from criminals to I need guns to keep myself safe from the government, a far more principled and non-negotiable position. Absolutely true. Absolutely true.
And they're absolutely right. Like many of these guns, you do not need them to hunt deer. It's true and a completely irrelevant. The whole point of the Second Amendment, as you and everyone listening to this knows, was to protect Americans against a government that got too big and got usurpacious. Now they're going to say, oh, you're not going to go out and be shooting agents of the state. And that is correct. But the point is, when things become more expensive to do, when things become more dangerous to do, that causes people, executives, to have second thoughts. And the other thing which people should be very disturbed about, you know, for 4 years, we're taught that Trump's a Hitler, he's a strong man, he doesn't respect the law, the Constitution. As soon as some truckers have a peaceful protest, a literally peaceful protest, the Canadian government, for the first time in history, not even after 9/11, invoked emergency powers. So that shows how little those who are in the government have respect for things like constitutions and principles. They'll just legislate around it and do whatever they want regardless.
And you look at, Michael, around the world, with countries that we may have thought were culturally similar to us in at least some major ways, Canada, you know, New Zealand, Australia, countries that don't have a Second Amendment and a culture of pushing back against the government, look at what they did with COVID. Look at what they did, what we're seeing in Canada now, where they're banning basically all firearms over a period of a few decades until they decide to fully ban the handguns in a couple of years, I'm sure. I mean, this has to highlight the importance of the Second Amendment, not the other way around.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Stuart. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I went to Waco, and where all the people from the Davidian compound, the compound is still there. There's still an active church. And people forget that Oklahoma City was a reaction by Timothy McVeigh to Waco. And the second that despicable tragedy happened and he committed his terrorist attack, Bill Clinton was on TV saying we need to go after assault weapons, even though he used a bomb. So they will use any excuse.
Yeah, not only assault weapons, but I remember clearly also talk radio.
That's right.
Yeah, that's when those two things, your speech and your guns. One other question here, Michael, on that tweet. You said white pill, and I'm losing track of all of the pills. I think okay, the red pill is you wake up. The blue pill is you go to sleep. I don't know what the white pill is. I don't think I know what the black pill is. Can you just go through the pill colors?
Okay. If you can handle a street light, you can handle the pills. There's just two pairs of two pills. So the black pill is all hope is lost. We're doomed. They're going to win anyway. They've got all the structural advantages. They've got all the cultural advantages. And the people who are on our side are all weak. The white pill is it is possible we will lose. It is impossible that we must lose.
Oh, okay. Well, I've been red pilled and white pilled.
That's the best combo, yes.
Right.
Isn't there an orange pill too?
Oh, that's for people who like Bitcoin, but you have to be on the spectrum for that one.
That's my prescription only. Yeah. And the government's really regulating that one.
Go ahead. Guys.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say I'm also very hopeful because of places like ghostguns.com. They are working for 3D printing guns. And the same way there's a big discussion now, what is a woman? Matt Walsh just dropped that documentary on Daily Wire. The question legally is, well, what is a gun? If I can press a button on my printer and print everything but, let's say, the handle, is that legally a gun? Okay, if they say 50%, well, then I'll just print 50, attach 50. So the battle is being lost on a technological level regarding gun control as well.
Yeah, it is. It will have to be 1984 or Brave New World to put this genie back in the bottle. I mean, that is the thing. I brought this up with Bill O'Reilly, and he didn't really respond to it. You know, these guys, the left, they have pulled out all the stops. They Yep. thought they were going to get away with this, and quite honestly, the way it's going, if America starts to stand up and another 10% wakes up, they're going to be people that go to jail, serious jail time for what has been going on. And they know it's a repeat at best of 1920, where progressives had to go into a closet for 100 years. I don't think they're going to give up quietly. They're a caged animal or a cornered animal.
Glenn, I could not agree with you more. This is a demonstration not of their strength, but their weakness. How quickly they've forgotten about Roe v. Wade, which is just amazing to me because that would be a much bigger and kind of more salient issue for them, I would think. So they're scrambling to latch onto something that will maintain their hold on power. But at this point, they're kind of like bailing water from a sinking ship because everywhere they look, there's another new hole in their bullcrap.
I love your opinion on this, and mainly because I know you probably have a deep opinion on it, and so few people in our business would. Tell me your thoughts on the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial now that it's been decided.
Oh. I hadn't been following it because I thought of some silly entertainment divorce situation.
Right.
Then I realized I got to tell you, I was extremely disturbed, above all, by the actions of what I heard about the ACLU.
Yes.
The fact that they wanted to insinuate themselves and make her a victim without doing their due diligence.
Yeah.
Historically, the ACLU and the hard leftist were defending like the worst people and defending criminals and things like this. Like people were genuinely bad instead of trying to make villains. They would make heroes out of villains instead of trying to make villains. Maybe Johnny Depp's not a hero, but certainly an innocent person.
Yeah.
So the fact that this is Glenn, I'm glad you brought it up. This is another massive loss for them.
Yes.
Because for a long time, all you have to do is like, look at what she did. It's not like one time she lied. Oh, okay. He was mean to me. This was systemic. And this was an organized campaign by the media. She's basically Jussie Smollett in a dress.
So, well, there's nothing wrong with that. So,
Happy Pride Month, Glenn.
So, yeah. So, this is such a loss. Look at what they had on the table. The media. They had the ACLU discredited. The Me Too movement discredited. Companies like Disney that, you know, would just fire people without the facts just because it's a witch hunt. I mean, that this was a massive loss.
And the thing is, everyone listening to this, men and women alike, know the story of people who've had the crazy ex-girlfriend. Now, the crazy ex-boyfriend is violent. He's a disgusting person. He should be denounced. But the crazy ex-girlfriend is dangerous in a very different way.
Oh, yeah.
And Amber Heard is not unique, although it's extremely rare, let's be fair, as well.
Does he get his career back, do you think?
Oh, I think he's going to be a big hero, and I think he's going to get some backlash because the people who like him are not people who are liked by the corporate press.
Right. And does she have a career at the end of this?
Yeah, she's going to be speaking out against Brett Kavanaugh next week at Cornell. Did you know he touched her inappropriately when she was?
She just
remembered.
Wow, really? That's amazing. When he was in high school or after?
Yeah. You hadn't Amber Heard? Oh, yeah. He was some kind of a law professor. There's no record of her being at the school ever, and she doesn't remember what
right.
years. But it definitely happened. Just ask the vice president.
Okay. Thank you very much. Michael Malice
is
on with us, and you can follow him and grab his book. He's got a couple of really good books. The Anarchist Handbook. Also, he's the host of You're Welcome. Oh, wait, is he still on? I have to ask
him. He's still on.
Your episode of You're Welcome this week is with the libertarian, right? The new libertarian?
Angela McCardle, who just took over the weekend in Reno as the new chair of the Libertarian Party.
Okay, real quick, tell me, have they come back to reality of A, being small government, not just some strange progressive libertarian? And do they have a chance with her of actually winning anything?
Well, they've come back to the reality that A is anarchism, which means no government, which is far less utopian than your constitutionalist fantasy. And they actually do have a
white
chance
pill.
Because... yes, sir. They do have a chance of making some massive cultural change because it's going to be very easy to drop the ball that Republicans and Democrats have dropped, at the very least for decreasing budgets.
Yes.
Governor DeSantis just today signed the record budget in Florida. So there's no room anywhere in the political spectrum between Republican and Democrat for people who actually want to cut spending, even when you look at someone like DeSantis.
And she's sane?
Oh, she's very sane. Okay. She's no Amber Heard.
Yeah. I just don't want her to be a, what was it? It was a Gary Johnson.
Yeah. Oh, Joe Jorgensen last time. You don't even remember her name. Yeah.
Yeah. Woof. Okay. Thanks so much, Michael. I appreciate it.
And
you can hear his interview with her on Your Welcome, this week's podcast with Michael Malice. MichaelMalice.com.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
So let me start here with a business owner in Detroit, Michigan. Listen to this.
Business owners say if these gas and diesel prices don't come down soon, the American dream will fade away.
This gas price, they're killing like this, a lot of like American dreams, killing their dreams. So they cannot make the living.
Hmm. What is the American dream? What is the American dream? Most people will tell you, you know, it's a great job, or you can become a millionaire, or, you know, you have your first house. Hey, you've heard politician after politician say, you know, we need to, you know, get on banking regulations so more people can have access to loans so they can experience the American dream of having their own house. That's not the American dream. That's what FDR changed it into. This is another progressive lie. The American dream is to be able to chart your own course, to be able to succeed or fail, but have a square opportunity that if you can come up with a better mousetrap, this is not true anymore, by the way. You come up with a better mousetrap, it doesn't mean the market will run to you. You have to get through all of the red tape, all of the government restrictions, all of the other businesses that will do everything they can to stop you. And if you can endure that onslaught, then maybe you can have the American dream of your house. We can't chart our own course. And Congress is absolutely irrelevant. Congress has given away their power for far too long. They've given away their power to the administrative state. And this, again, Woodrow Wilson, the administrative state. Think about it. What can Congress really do? What can they actually do? Nothing, really. Nothing. Until they decide to take their power back. When they become the lawmakers. Right now, how many times have you heard? Well, for instance, let me give you one that just came across my desk yesterday. Let me see if I can find it quick. There is the Department of Education has decided that if your school doesn't have the right bathrooms, you don't get the funding. Who made that decision? Did you vote for that? Because it's now taxation without representation. And they will say, no, technically that's not true. Why? Because you voted for the president. But I didn't vote for all the bureaucrats. And when I voted for the president, I didn't vote for him to be a dictator. And I mean this for Republican or Democrat. It doesn't matter. I voted for a president to have the bully pulpit to convince the American people this is the direction we should be going in. Not for him just to close the curtain and flip some switches and you know, turn up the dial on different things. That's not his job. And it's certainly not the administration's job. Passing laws goes to Congress. Setting limits goes to Congress. Gun issue? Congress will do what it wants. And if it doesn't get its way, it will break the Constitution to get its way. And believe me, they are already putting things into place to infringe on this right. And they're putting them in place through ATF. Through the Commerce Department, Homeland Security. One way or another, they will get it done. This is no longer a government for and by the people. This is a government that is now being done through the administrative state. As I showed you on Wednesday's TV show, FEMA. FEMA is not a reactionary force anymore. The administrative state, through the presidency, has now changed this So they're not just reacting to an emergency, a hurricane. They're reacting now to all hurricanes yet to come, all droughts yet to come. And they are putting into place things to stop those emergencies because the climate is an existential threat. And they're doing that with the SEC, with ESG. They're doing it everywhere. That's how you kill the American dream. If you think gas prices are going down, you're mistaken. This is not a bump in the road. This is not a glitch. This is a feature of what our government has become. If I could have only one prayer answered today, it would be this: that everyone within the sound of my voice could wake up just one person. And I know how frustrating it is. Believe me. I mean, I admit my faults, and I admit freely that I'm wrong on timing. And when I'm wrong about something, have I ever hid that? Have I ever not taken responsibility for things that I'm like, wow, I was wrong?
No, there's no reason to.
Yeah, right.
You get more trust with the audience when you admit when you're wrong.
Publicly and privately. I remember something we argued about and I was really strong on. And how many times have I come back to you and went, thank God for you, because I was so wrong on that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's true.
There's no reason. I have people in my own family that know my record that won't listen right now. And I think it's because it's too ugly. It's too hard. It's too hard to even imagine. Americans have never seen anything like this. You know, when Jamie Dimon comes out and says, hey, brace for an economic hurricane, he said it's not storm clouds. It's hurricane. We just don't know if it's going to be, you know, I don't know, Hurricane Nancy or Hurricane Katrina. But brace yourself. People don't understand that, and they don't see that it's right over the horizon. There's another shortage that I just want to throw at you to show you the unintended consequences of things. Now, we just went through COVID, and what happened? COVID put us all in our houses. Well, right now, there is an organ shortage. Every day, 17 people die waiting for an organ transplant. And another person that needs a transplant is added to the waiting list every 9 minutes. Now, 90% of the population agrees with organ donations, but only 60% actually register as a donor. Now, what has caused this pandemic of organ shortages? Well, two things. One, the organs from people who have just died, it's time limited. You've only got X number of minutes that you can use that organ. Then it starts to decay and it's no good. Well, we've got to do COVID tests on everything. We can't turn these organs around fast enough. So we're losing a lot of organs. But also, you've got a real problem because the recovered organs have dropped from more than 110 in a day to less than 60 per day. Why is that? Listen, because people are driving less because of COVID. And most organs come from car crashes. Now, can we just think this out for a second? Why are our gas prices so high? Our gas prices are so high because we need to get into electric vehicles. Electric vehicles are not the only solution. It's self-driving electric vehicles. It is AI electric vehicles. How many car crashes will we have in AI-driven cars? The whole thing is they're going to be safer. So let's say we cut, you know, out of 100% of the car crashes we have now, we cut it down to 20%. What are we going to do for organs? There will be an organ shortage, much greater than this one. Then what do we do? These are unintended consequences. And the reason why I bring this up is these people are trying to change everything. They are changing our history. They're changing our national story. They're changing the meaning of even the American dream. That was gone long ago. We don't know who we are. We don't know what we are. We can't even identify a man or a woman. We're teaching our kids. We're putting our kids this month, because it's Pride Month, our kids are having story time with transgendered people reading the story. Why? 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 What is wrong with us? They're changing absolutely everything. In fact, I read a story this week about the coming changes to our farm-to-table system. The seed-to-fork. All of it is changing. And it's all being changed by the experts. And it's all being forced to be changed in the next 8 to 12 years. God only knows what the unintended consequences are going to be. And because God only knows those things, we should perhaps slow down. But see, they think your pain at the pump is a good thing. Joe Biden said, we're going to pay a heavy price. Now, he was talking about the oil prices because of Putin. But that's not what's causing these oil prices. It's ESG and the environmentalist policies that are causing this oil and gas shortage. And it's a 5-year turnaround. He looks at it as a good thing because we're making progress. And the intended consequence is you'll get off of gasoline because they're going to make it too expensive. If I could have one prayer answered, it would be that whoever you are, you would realize you're listening for a reason. And that you have incredible power. And that the American dream is truly to be free enough to chart your own course. And that you would realize there are people that are trying to destroy that opportunity because they think they know better. And that you would be able to wake one person up in the next few days to the fact that gas prices are going much higher and it's not coming back around, and that food prices, that again, as Jamie Dimon said, a hurricane is coming, I pray that you will be able to wake up somebody so they can help other people when the storm comes. Not instead be sent to the Superdome to live in that chaos.